Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we exalt you and we magnify you. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Here we go. If you have your cell phones, put them on the silent position. And here we go. It's the introduction to the book of Mark. And we're going to be expounding just verses 1 through 8. But we want to introduce you this book first. Okay, so that you have an idea why it was written. So number one, the purpose. What was the purpose of the book? To present the person, work, and teachings of Jesus. Okay? Then we want to know who was the author. The author was John Mark. Not John, the apostle. His name was John Mark. He was not one of the 12 disciples, but he accompanied Paul on his first missionary journey. So some of you, this is new to you. So I made sure that was correct, and it was John Mark. Amen. Who was the audience? The audience. It's Christians in Rome where he wrote the gospel. Well, John Mark wrote this. It was in Rome where he wrote the book of Mark. And then the date written was probably between A.D. 55 and 65. They couldn't be precise, but it was in that 10-year period. So what was the setting? The setting of this book. It was the Roman Empire under Tiberius Caesar. The empire with its common language and excellent transportation and communication systems was ripe to hear Jesus' message, which spread quickly from nation to nation. So now, in every book, there should be like a key verse, a verse that stands out. And so let's look at the key verse right here in the book of Mark. It's Mark 10:45, and it reads, "For even I, the Son of Man, came here not to be served, but to serve others, and to give my life as a ransom for many." Did you catch that? For many, but not for all. We're going to look at this. For many, but not for all. Because there's some folks that are just not going to get saved. I know that. I know some people that are already passed on. And they did have nothing to do with Jesus. So they weren't included in that many. Wow. And who were the key people? The key people in the book of Mark was Jesus, the 12 disciples, Pilate, and the Jewish religious leaders. Those guys. We're going to really talk about those guys in a bit. So let's all read together this introduction of the books. It's just a synopsis. It's a snapshot. And then we will go line by line, precept upon precept. Amen? So let's look at this right up here. We can all read this together. Oh, special features. Mark records more miracles than does any other gospel. Okay? Mark records the most miracles than John, than in Luke, and then in Matthew. Mark does. Amen? So now we can read all this together. Here we go. We're number one. You ever hear that? We're number one. The greatest, strongest, prettiest, champions. Daily such proclamations boldly assert claims of supremacy. Everyone wants to be associated with the winner. Your baseball team. You're not there to lose. You want to win. And you want to win a championship. And you sow into their life. And you teach them principles. And by being a man of God, you even teach them godly principles. But the whole thing is to win, to implement winning, not losing. Everyone wants to be associated with a winner. How many wants to be associated with losers? Losers are those who finish less than first. In direct contrast are the words of the Lord Jesus. Look at this. In Mark 10, 44 through 45. And whoever wants to be first must be the slave of all. For even I, the Son of Man, came here not to be served, but to serve others and to give my life as a ransom for many. And so, saints, Jesus is the greatest. Say that with me. Is the greatest. He is God incarnate, meaning he robed himself in a body of flesh. And he's also our Messiah. But he entered history as a servant. This is the message of Mark, written to encourage Roman Christians and to prove beyond a doubt that Jesus is the Messiah. And 2,000 years later, it has trickled down to us. Mark presents a rapid succession of vivid pictures of Jesus in action. Look at this. Mark reveals Jesus' true identity as revealed by what he does, not necessarily by what he says. It is Jesus on the move. Omitting the birth of Jesus, Mark begins with John the Baptist preaching, then moving quickly past Jesus' baptism, temptation in the wilderness, and call of the disciples. Mark takes us directly into Jesus' public ministry. Praise God. And some of you are just thrown in the fire now. Hallelujah. Can I get amen? Now it's no more child's games. Now it's become a man and a woman. Can I get amen? Look at this. We see Jesus confronting a demon, healing a man with leprosy, and forgiving and healing the paralyzed man lowered into Jesus' presence by his friends. Then we're going to see Jesus calls on Matthew, Levi, and has dinner with him and his questionable associates. This initiates the conflict with the Pharisees and other religious leaders who condemn Jesus for eating with sinners and breaking the Sabbath. Then when we get down to chapter 4, Mark pauses to give a sample of Jesus' teaching, the parable of the farmer, and the illustration of the mustard seed. Then he plunges back into action. See, Mark is a book of action of what Jesus did and all the miracles he performed. Jesus calms the waves, drives out demons, heals Jairus' daughter, and after returning to Nazareth for a few days and experiencing rejection, even in his own hometown, Jesus commissions the disciples to spread the good news everywhere. This is what discipleship means. It's to raise them up and then to send them out. Can I get amen? Amen. Look at this. Opposition from Herod and the Pharisees increases, and John the Baptist is beheaded. But Jesus continues to move, feeding 5,000, reaching out to the woman from the Cyrenian Phoenicia, healing the deaf man and feeding 4,000. Finally, it is time to reveal his true identity to the disciples. Do they really know who Jesus is? Do they really know who he is? Peter proclaims him Messiah, but then promptly shows what he does not understand about Jesus' mission. After the transfiguration, Jesus continues to teach and heal, confronting the Pharisees about divorce and the rich young man about eternal life. Blind Bartimaeus is what?
Healed.
Praise God. Praise God. Look at this. Events move rapidly toward a climax. The Last Supper, the betrayal, the crucifixion, and then the resurrection are all dramatically portrayed, along with more examples of Jesus' teachings. Mark shows us Jesus moving, serving, sacrificing, and saving. As you read Mark, be ready for action. Be open for God's move in your life. Turn to your neighbor and say, be ready.
Be ready.
Turn to the other, to the one on the other side. Be ready. The one behind you. Be ready. Be ready for action. Can I get amen? Be open for God's move in your life. And be challenged to move into the world that you serve. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. So, are we ready to start the book?
Amen.
That was our introduction to Mark. Amen? And you could always go back to this because it's now being recorded. Amen? So, let's go to Mark. Chapter 1. And we're just going to do verses 1 through 8. Here we go. In the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And those of you that are probably new, who was this messenger? The messenger was John the Baptist. Can I get amen? That was Jesus' primo. Hallelujah, his first cousin. Thank you, God. Look at this. John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Verse 5, and all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Look at verse 6. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and with leather belt around his waist. And he ate locusts and wild honey. How would you like that to be your staple? Oh, honey, what do you got in the fridge? Oh, we got some locusts. And they're still crawling. Woo, man. Jesus, help us. Thank you, God. Look at this. In verse 7. And he preached, saying, there comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Some of you says the Holy Spirit of fire. Some translation has Holy Spirit of fire. Praise God. So let's break this down with verse 1. In the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so, saints, the first verse here begins the good news about Jesus, our Messiah, who is the Son of God, and acts as both a title to the book and the summary of his contents. No mention is made of the author specifically here. Generally considered, saints, to be John Mark. Mark was not one of the 12 disciples of Jesus, as we mentioned earlier. And while we generally call this book the Gospel of Mark, the title correctly penned by Mark was the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. How many believe that the gospel is good news to you?
Amen.
It will always be the good news. Can I get amen?
Right.
And so let's look at this right up here. The first name, Jesus, was a common name in Israel as the Old Testament form of the name Joshua, meaning Yahweh saves. And that's what Jesus means. Yahweh saves. Jesus saves. Can I get amen? Look at this in Matthew 1:21. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name what? Jesus. That means Yahweh saves. For he will save his people from their sins. Did you catch that again? He will save his people. Did it say all people? Mm-mm. When it says, for he will save his people, are the ones that he has elected and he has called and chosen. Did you know that we are chosen by him?
Yes.
Do you know there was nothing that we could do? There was nothing we could have bargained with? There was nothing there other than I chose you.
Thank you, Jesus.
When he came down to the Sea of Galilee and he saw a bunch of smelly fishermen, he walked down to them and said, follow me. They dropped their nets and followed him. Can I get amen? They didn't know who he was. He just said, follow me. Well, guess what? God came knocking at our door.
Yes.
And said, follow me.
Come on.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Thank you, God. We didn't have any theological information.
That's right.
We didn't have no wisdom. We didn't know the scriptures. He just said, follow me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And God moved on our heart. Can I get amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. God is the one that gave you the mind to be saved and the heart to repent. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He quickened us in our spirit. Hallelujah. And then we were drawn. It was like a hook. Hallelujah. We had to go. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And none of us fought it. When he called us, none of us fought it. We might have fought it all our life until he called us. And once he called us, hallelujah, he gave us that mind to be saved. He gave us the heart to repent. Hallelujah. There was no fight. Hallelujah. There was no fight. Man, I was toe up, you know that, from the flow up. I had everything on me, and I let it go right there in a moment of seconds. Hallelujah. No fight. Hallelujah. Because he called me. And he called you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Thank you, God. And so the second name we mentioned here is Messiah, from the Greek word Christos, meaning the anointed one. Look at this. And when 8 days were completed from the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was what? Conceived in the womb. And here it is. He's the anointed one. How many believe that he's the anointed one? Woo, thank you, God. The anointed one, the Messiah, would fulfill the Old Testament prophecies. You see, the New Testament wasn't written. So Mark only had, he only had the Old Testament to glean off of. We've been blessed in our generation. We have both Old and New Testament. We can glean off of both now. But they didn't have the New Testament yet. So he had to look back to write ahead. Can I get amen?
Amen?
And so look, he went back. Mark John went back to Genesis 49:10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the people. So even in Genesis, it talks about that he would come from Judah. Hallelujah. Look at King David wrote, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. Hallelujah. So this was a prophetic word that Jesus, hallelujah, was going to come. Hallelujah. And then guess what he was going to do? He was going to gather all of us. And he's been gathering for 2,000 years. And guess what? We are part of that gathering. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. How many are so blessed to know?
Amen.
Hallelujah. That he included us in that number. Thank you, God.
Amen.
Thank you, God. Look at this. Psalm 110, 1 through 2. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Listen, let me just say this. Because the Holy Ghost lives in us, we are in the midst of God's enemies. Can I get an amen?
Yes.
Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Not everybody says praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Man, there's people that I know, man, it's bleepity, bleepity, bleep, and then Jesus Christ will come out. That's an enemy to the cross until they get saved. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You got to pray for them. Hallelujah. Pray for them. Fast for them. Say, God, save them. Hallelujah. And then it was prophesied that a child would come. You know, we normally see this next scripture during Christmas time. Right up here, look at this. In Isaiah 9, 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called what?
Wonderful
Counselor, Mighty God. See, he's God. Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And look at this. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He's talking about the millennial reign that's coming. When Jesus sets up 1,000 years on this earth, there's going to be a peace that you and I have never experienced before. Until that day comes, there's always going to be uneasiness, restfulness. We're always going to go through anxiety and stress, and God knows it. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, to cry out to him so that he would comfort us. Can I get amen?
Because
this flesh, still needs to be saved. Hallelujah. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Our soul and spirit is, but the body needs to be changed and to be like his. And so look at this. Upon the throne of David over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. You know what the zeal of the Lord means? That means God is dogmatic. How many believe he's dogmatic? That you cannot change his mind. The Bible says he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So nothing, hallelujah, will startle God. Nothing can trip him up. Nothing can thwart him out of the way. The zeal of the Lord spoke it. So these things will come to pass. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. There's nothing we can do to stop it. And we see it right now, today, in our day and lifetime. We see us standing here this morning, hallelujah, saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We are recipients of that grace, and we are witnesses to all this.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He will use you. He will use you every day if you allow him to be used. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And so as you read Mark, there's no genealogy because he presented Jesus as the servant. And a servant needs no pedigree. You know, a servant's a servant. You know, servants were they didn't have, you know, the accolades. Servants didn't have all these accomplishments. Like when we were in this beautiful resort hotel there in Nashville. And then we saw the servants there, the ones that change your bed sheets and all that. They have a name, you know that? They have a family. But they don't have a pedigree. You know, they're just servants. They just work there just to pay, just to eat. Well, Mark makes sure that we knew Jesus as a servant. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And to see how this servant would operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's mind-boggling. It baffles the human conscience, the human mind. It goes against the grain. We look at people that have all these accolades, that are somebody. But the way he described Jesus, he was just a servant. He just came to serve. But he demonstrates his validity by the worth of the service he provides. Can I get amen? Let's move on to verse 2 and 3. They correlate together. Verse 2 and 3 of Mark chapter 1. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Praise God. Once again, Mark John had nothing to refer this to. He had nothing when he saw this on the scene. He had to go back and say, oh, wait a minute. The prophets spoke of him. The prophets spoke of John the Baptist. Because he wanted to make sure before he wrote it down that this is no new age. This is something like, you know what, I never seen this before. But before I write it down, I need to know, is it of you, God? And that's for us too. Be careful of what you let in your spirit. Can I get amen?
Amen.
There's some things that'll be contrary to what God has written. Be careful. God's giving you the power of the Holy Spirit for discernment. Great discernment. And the days we live in, the enemy wants to trip you up. Can I get amen? So he had to go back. And so he found it. He found it right here. Look, in Malachi 3:1. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. And so, he needed another witness. Can I get amen? Listen, if you're in a court of law, you need one or two witnesses establishes the truth. So you need another witness. Here's the other witness, Isaiah 40:3. the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. So, when John Mark saw that, he goes, yes, yes, this is God doing something. Can I get an amen? Because he saw it. He confirmed it with the word. And that's what we have to be. We have to be like Bereans. Can I get an amen? Yes. Bereans, search the scriptures. And you want to make sure that you're not in error. And you know how to, you should know how to defend your faith, especially when you're out in the world.
That's right.
If someone asks you, what do you believe in? And why do you believe? And how do you believe? Man, you better have your answers. Be ready to give a man an answer of the hope that lies within you.
Yes.
Can I get amen? And so Malachi was a prophet to the Jews in Jerusalem who had returned to rebuild their beloved city after the exile. Isaiah was one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament and one of the most quoted in the New Testament. The second half of the book of Isaiah is devoted to the promise of salvation. Amen. Did you know some people have said that Isaiah is like the 66 books of the Bible? Everything's mentioned from like Genesis to Revelation. It's all in the book of Isaiah if you study Isaiah. Isaiah wrote about the coming of the Messiah and the man who would announce his coming. And who was his coming? John the Baptist. Prepare, make straight in the desert way. And like Isaiah, John was a prophet who urged the people to confess their sins and to live for God. And so saints, although quoting from the two prophets, which was Isaiah and Malachi, Mark simply applied the words to Isaiah. Praise God. The theme in both references is the focus on a messenger who would prepare the way. And who was that person? John the Baptist. John the Baptist. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, saints, Mark, he understood the ministry of John the Baptist as fulfilling those promises that we just read. That one right there and the one in Malachi. The messenger considered himself a voice shouting out to the people of Israel, prepare a pathway for the Lord's coming. Wow, just imagine. And listen, the religious leaders, we're going to look at this in a little bit. It frustrated them. You know why? Because John the Baptist wasn't dressed like them. He had camel's hair and was eating locusts out in the wilderness. He didn't look like a man of God like these Pharisees. These guys were properly groomed. They had the pompous hats, the robes. And they thought they were all that. But Jesus later on said, you are filled with dead men's bones. You're vipers of snakes. Woo! Jesus, help us. It was believed that when the Messiah came, prophecy would reappear. Let me just say this. There was 400 years of silence between Malachi and Matthew. Malachi ended the Old Testament. 400 years went by and they hadn't heard from a prophet.
Wow.
It was silent. And then Jesus came on the scene.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And then Joel spoke of this. Look at this. In Joel, let's go to verse 4. John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remissions of sins. Listen, what was the purpose of that? He was trying to get the people there to turn from religion to establish a relationship with the living God. And remission of sins means forgiveness. That's what remission means. For the forgiveness of sins. And so the messenger was John the Baptist. There had not been a prophet in Israel, as I mentioned, for over 400 years. It was widely believed that when the Messiah came, prophecy would reappear. Now we can go to Joel. Look at this. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on what? All flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Woo! How many are so blessed to know that when God poured out His Spirit on the day of Pentecost, it is still being poured out today.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Woo! Still being poured out today. Friday night, I don't know what you guys were doing Friday night, but Yolanda and I, I think we saw Catherine and Carla. We were at the Legacy. Jonathan Shuttlesworth was there. And they were celebrating all week the Feast of Pentecost. Man, I'm telling you, when we went down to the altar and we lifted up our hands, He prayed over all of us there that we would be reignited. And let me tell you, that fire came. It came. Hallelujah. Every now and then, you need to be refreshed. Can I get amen? You need to receive. That's why I can't wait for the 29th to come. These two young men are going to bring it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm going to be sitting right there, man, receiving everything that God has given them. You know why? Because I don't know it all. I'm still learning myself. None of us have arrived.
That's right. And never will.
And never will. None of us will. Praise God. Thank you, God. And then right here in Malachi, we read this scripture. But look at this. Behold, I send my messenger. He will prepare the way before me. And the Lord you see, whom you seek, will suddenly come to His temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, in whom you delight. Behold, He is coming, says the Lord of hosts. And He did come, didn't He?
Yeah.
Thank you, God. Some people thought John himself was the Messiah, but he wasn't. He wasn't. John spoke of the old prophets of old, saying that the people must turn from their sin to avoid punishment and to turn to God to experience the mercy and approval of God. You see, they were, number one, 400 years without a prophet, so no one spoke prophetically into their lives. And then the Pharisees are the only ones that have the scriptures, and they kept it to themselves. They kept it to themselves. They weren't sharing it with the common people. These common people wanted God. You know, there's so many people in our lives that want God.
Come on.
And they're waiting for us to open up our mouth.
That's right.
To share Christ with them. Can I get amen? The hope of glory.
Yep.
I'm going to pray a John the Baptist anointing over us.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That when we leave this place today, hallelujah, that we'll go out and tell others. Hallelujah. We're gonna see other people somewhere, some way, sometime today.
Come on.
And when you see them walking in your presence, remember this. Share Christ with them.
Yes.
How you doing? How you doing, brother? How you doing, sister? How you doing? You say, hey, can I pray for you? Is there a need in your life? You know, that's how you can just crush it open. Hey, is there a need in your life? Is there somebody I can pray for? You don't have to tell them, hey, you know what? I know you in sin. No. You don't go there. You don't go there. You, hey, can I pray for you? No, use wisdom. Can I get an amen? Because God only needs a little sliver of light. And then you can, he'll just slam it all open and you're going to walk in it. Just use wisdom. And you get a hold of them. And so this is the message for all times and places. But John spoke it with particular urgency. You know why? Because Jesus only had 3.5 years. By the grace of God, I got saved at 30. I'm 66 and a half years now. And so for that many years, I've been blessed to preach the gospel. Some of you are just starting out. Some of you have been on the road for a while now. I think Pastor Art, you and I, we're about 30. Jesus only had 3.5 years. But those 3.5 years, He turned the world upside down. He was a servant. You see, John preached in the wilderness in the area near the Jordan River. But he did not move from that place. He stayed there. Why? Because there was water. The Jordan River. You know, you think that when you see the Jordan River, you think of a big, giant river that's just rushing. It's actually just a stream.
Yep.
And maybe the depth is 10 feet, maybe 12.
Yeah.
It's not that wide either. But it's constant. It's a constant stream that's there, the Jordan River. And there's little fish that'll nibble at your ankles. Because when you go down there to get baptized in the Jordan River, they're right there. Beep, 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 beep. They're about that size. They're all about that size. Yeah, they're just... Boop, 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 boop. Let me see what you taste like. Boop, boop, boop. But John's baptism was immersion, and it was a visible sign that a person had decided to change his or her life. You remember when you got baptized?
Yeah.
It was a proclamation. You were telling the world that, you know what? I'm going to live for Christ now. Yeah. I'm going to live for Him now. I'm going to live for the Most High.
That's right.
That's what God did for us. And we should never lose that. Can I get amen? Listen, I don't care what trial, I don't care what sin tries to creep in. Nothing's greater than the love of God. Hallelujah. Nothing is. And whatever tries to creep in, God will destroy it. And He'll give you the eyes to see it. And then you will crush it. Hallelujah. You know why? Because you love Him more than that sin. Can I get an amen? Sin is just a moment of pleasure. Jesus is everlasting to everlasting, of joy unspeakable to be with Him forever. Thank you, God. So after Christ's death and resurrection, baptism became an outward sign for identifying with Christ and His resurrection and for signifying entrance into the Christian community. Praise God. You know, Paul wrote it best right up here. Look at this. In Romans 6:3. Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into what?
His death.
So we should be always identified with the world as being dead to sin and alive to God. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And when I say dead to sin, doesn't mean that we're walking around sinless. No. That means the original sin from Adam has been eradicated by the blood. Can I get an amen? Woo! God doesn't hold that against us no more. Because we have given our heart to Christ. Thank you. We are His now. Sealed until the day of redemption. Praise God. But baptism is so important. And there's people that will fight it. You know that? People will fight baptism. I got a scripture here that should prove and to equip you to let other people know that they haven't been baptized. This is what they need. It's found in 1 Peter 3. Look at this. There is also an antitype which now saves us. Baptism, not the removal of the filth of flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Did you catch that? It's not about going down a dry sinner and coming out a wet one. No, it's about your faith. Hallelujah. Knowing that you're going to die with Him and be raised up with Him in the newness of life. And when you come out in the newness of life, everything changes from that moment on. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. It all changes now. Thank you, God. God gives you a brand new heart to live for Him. To live for Him. And so Matthew also recorded that some of the Jewish religious leaders, which are the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, all these, you know, wannabe leaders, came to be baptized too. And John angrily turned them away. You know, John the Baptist turned those guys away? Because they were doing it just to show the people, well, we can do this too. They didn't come to repent of their sins. Look at this. I found this in Matthew 3:7. Look at this right here. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" They thought they'd just come and take off their robes and their pompous hats and get baptized like the common people weren't. He called them brood of vipers. Whew, man. Why? Why? Because they used the things of God for themselves. To lord over them. To take money from them. And they couldn't even feed the starving one with a loaf of bread. My, my, my. Help us, Jesus. So he had a problem with them. Why do you think they chopped off his head? We're going to read this later. Because they hated John the Baptist. Why? Because some people don't like to hear the truth. And they will cut you. They will mock you. They will slander you. They'll body slam you. They'll do everything just to try to shut you up. But guess what? Nothing can shut us up. Can I get amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. If God be for us, who could be against us?
Amen.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord.
So let's move on. We got a few more verses to cover this morning. How many love expository teaching? Amen? Yeah, I'm telling you. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Verse 5, here we go. And all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. And so from Jerusalem, the holy city of the Jews, and from all over Judea and Samaria, a stream of people constantly flowed into the wilderness to hear John the Baptist preach. Just imagine, that's where the fire was. The fire was there. Can I get amen?
Yeah.
Thank you, God. And so I have a question. Why did John attract so many people? I answered it a few minutes ago. Yeah, the fire was there. Yeah. Yeah. Because of this, he was the first true prophet in 400 years.
Oh,
the first true prophet. And they go, man, finally, God has given us a glass of water.
Amen.
That whole region, that whole area was thirsty. 400 years and they haven't heard from God. The only scriptures that was given were the ones in the synagogue for all the righteous people, self-righteous people in there. But the poor folks, the common folks, couldn't go in there. They didn't smell right. They didn't look right. They didn't dress like them. And so they weren't allowed to hear God's word. My goodness. Jesus. And so John the Baptist, he blasted both Herod and all the religious leaders. It was a daring act that fascinated the common people, because the common people never saw anyone rise up against that religious group like that. He blasted them. He even pointed out their sins that they were committing. Man, that took a whole lot of boldness. But John also had strong words for his audience. They too were sinners and needed to repent. Can I get amen? It was for all. It was for all. And when they confessed their sins, John baptized them in the Jordan River. Praise God. I'm praying for another Israel trip that we can all go again and get baptized in the River Jordan. It's all right. You get past a little fish nibbling. You'll get past it. Oh, I don't know. You get past it. Confessing means more than verbal response. Affirmation or praise. It means agreeing to change to a life of obedience and service unto God. That's what repentance means. I'm turning to you, God. Now I want to obey you. All my life I was a disobeyer. I disobeyed my teachers, my parents, the law. I don't know how many times I broke the law. I stole. I sold dope. I did all those things. Slept in other rooms with other people. We did all that. And now, when you get baptized, now you're saying, you know what? That's the old man. That's the old woman. Can I get amen?
Yes.
Behold, all things have become new. All things are passed away. And all things have become new. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. And so let's move on to verse 6 of Mark chapter 1. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist. And he ate locusts and wild honey. Woo! Is that what's on the table right now?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought someone brought some locusts in. I don't know. John's clothes were much like the prophet Elijah in order to distinguish him from the religious leaders whose flowing robes reflected their great pride in their position. Their pompous hats, their gold-laced adornments. They were like, walk above you. The common people were beneath them. Their nose up in the air. Wow. Wow. So, John the Baptist, he came in like Elijah. Look at this. Where did we find that at? 2 Kings 1:8, look. So they answered him, a hairy man wearing a leather belt around his waist. And he said, it's Elijah, the Tishbite. And that's who John the Baptist, he was hairy. He ate locusts and honey, and he had a belt around his waist. He came looking like that. Not like the religious leaders. Can I get amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And still drew all those folks. They all had a front row seat to this man. Later on, we're going to see this. But I found this later on in chapter 12 of Mark. Then he said to them in his teaching, beware. This is Jesus saying this. Beware of the scribes who desire to go around in long robes, love greetings in the marketplaces, and so on. We're going to get to that. Because Jesus has a lot to say about these folks. But we don't want to get ahead of ourselves. It's coming in a couple weeks. Verse 7. And he preached saying, there comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and to loose. And so saints, although John was the first genuine prophet in over 400 years, Jesus the Messiah would be far greater than he. Far greater. And he was just paving the way. He was like the trumpet blower. That there's one greater than I that's coming. Jah saw himself even lower than that slave in comparison to the coming Messiah. Because John said it best. In Book of John 3:30, John the Baptist said, he must increase, but I must decrease. So in other words, John the Baptist, his ministry was now coming to the end. And now, tag, you're it, primo. That's it, man. It's all about you now. It's all about you. It's all about Jesus. And John began, and Jesus finished. What John prepared, Jesus fulfilled. Remember, he prepared it, but Jesus fulfilled it. Praise God. And so we look at our last verse in Mark chapter 1, and it reads in verse 8, I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you what? With the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Saints, to be effective, it had to be accompanied by the inward change of attitude leading to a changed life. John's baptism did not give salvation, but it prepared a person to welcome the coming Messiah and receive his message and his baptism. John's greatest statement, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. What did that reveal? The identity of the one coming after John, as he promised that the Messiah would come. The coming of the Spirit had been prophesied as part of the Messiah's arrival. And where did again where did Mark, John get this from? This is why you have to study the Word. Find out. Do a word search. Where did he find out that the Messiah would come and that he would pour out his Spirit like this? He had to look back. So when he was writing these down, he had to look back and reflect on what the prophets of old had indicated. And so I found this in Jeremiah 31. Look at this. Behold, 31 through 33. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Look at verse 32. Not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. Look at verse 33. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall what? Be my people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It trickled down to you and me. Can I get amen? Hallelujah. Guess what? God has written his law on our hearts. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. When God looks in now, he sees his word all written on your heart. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Washed in the blood. Filled with the Holy Spirit of promise. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Jesus is the one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That saves from the guttermost to the uttermost. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this great salvation. Thank you for what you're doing in our life. Thank you, God. Thank you that he is an awesome God, a mighty God. He's from everlasting to everlasting. He is the bishop and lover of our soul. He is the bright morning star. Hallelujah. He is the rose of Sharon. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. And he's the one that changes you from the inside out. Can I get amen? Hallelujah. He makes all things brand new. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Come on, worship the King right now. Worship him. Hallelujah. Father, pour out your Spirit right now. In the name of Jesus, pour out your power, oh God. Hallelujah. Raise up your hands to heaven. Ask God to fill you. Ishadaboko. Rabba shataraba. Ikaraba shataraba. Ikaraba sikarabasa. In the name of Jesus, Lord, pour out your power, your presence in this place, oh God. Hallelujah. We should leave this place filled with your Spirit. Filled with your power. Hallelujah. 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 We need to come alive unto God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus. Oh, we bless the holy name. We bless you, God. We bless you for saving us. We bless you, God, for sanctifying us. We bless you for justifying us. Hallelujah. We thank you, God, that you have glorified us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the new body that's coming. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, that we will live with you for a thousand years. Hallelujah. In the millennial reign. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. That you found it worthy. Hallelujah. In us to call us. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, that we chose you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because you first chose us. Hallelujah. Thank you. We didn't say no, God. I thank you, God, we didn't say no. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Woo, let us stand, saints of God, let us stand. Hallelujah. Sharaboko rabo kikaraba. Rabba shataraba kataraba. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we lift up our hands to you, God. Hallelujah, God. Lord, pour out your presence. Pour out your power, oh God. Hallelujah. Fill us, oh God. Fill our cup overflowing, oh God. Lord, we cry out to thee, oh God. Hallelujah. You are the Alpha and the Omega, oh God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And in your kingdom there is no end. Hallelujah, oh God. Yeah. Lord, touch us, Lord, in mighty ways. Oh, in the name of Jesus, Lord, use us. Fill us, oh God, with power overflowing. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. In the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Sharaboko. Ikarabakatarabasa. Ikarabasataraba. In the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Touch my brother right now, God. In the name of Jesus. Woo, Sharaboko. Ikarabasa. Touch him right now, God. In the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, bless my cousin right now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you for her faith, oh God. Thank you, huh? Thank you for Brother Art right here. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you for Sister Araceli right now. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you. Hallelujah for Brother John. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Bless my brother, God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you for my sister. Hallelujah. Lord, continue to give her, hallelujah, everything that she needs, Lord, to come alongside her husband, oh God, to raise him up. Hallelujah. In the fear and admonition of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for my sister, oh God. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Oh God, let your power come. Ha, let your Woo, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. In the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh God, in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Hallelujah. And every tongue that rises up against you, hallelujah, God will condemn it. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Walk in his favor. Walk in his love. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Yes. Lord, here's thy servant, O God. Bless her, O God. In the name of Jesus. Overflowing with joy. Unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you for the anointing. Hey. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Woo. Thank you, God. In the name of Jesus. Woo. Thank you, God. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Saints of God, we're praying for those who are watching on Facebook and YouTube right now. Maybe they've never given their heart to God. We're going to give you that opportunity right now to receive Christ. Right now, we feel the presence of God in this place. And we pray that God will just splash that over to you where you're at. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pray this prayer by faith. Ask him and invite him into your life that God will do something great and mighty in your life. God will translate you from darkness into his marvelous light by faith. Hallelujah. Pray this simple prayer. We're going to pray together and then we're going to ask you to come in. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Come on. Give God a shout. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.